Similarly, material desires for things are, you ask for it, you get it, but you have more problems. Then you ask, okay, remove this problem. Then that problem is removed, something else comes. Remove that problem, then you have to keep on going. But intelligent man is he who asks such a benediction that no more problems. So that is intelligence. Another thing is, no devatas can award you any benediction without the sanction of the Lord. The devatas are agents. The Supreme Lord is the supplier. Without his sanction, nobody can grant you. They have to take the sanction. That's described in the 7th chapter, 22nd verse of the Bhagavad Gita. Sataya shaddhaya yuktas tasya radhanamihate labhate chatatah kaman mayaiva vihitan hitan. Whatever they are giving, ultimately they are taking from me. I am the ultimate giver of every benediction. Whereas, all the benedictions are given by him alone. So, intelligent man is he who will directly approach the Supreme Lord for all the benedictions. Next. Another very interesting thing. If you worship the devatas, you go to their abodes. And if you worship Krishna or the Supreme Lord, you go to his abode. Now, what is the difference between going to the abode of the devatas and going to the abode of the Supreme Lord? The difference is this. As Krishna describes in the 9th chapter, 25th verse. Yanti deva vrata devan, pitri nyanti pitru vrataha, bhutani yanti bhutejya, yanti madhya jinopimam. Yanti devavrata devan. If you worship the devatas, you go to their planets, wherever they are residing. Pitri niyanti pitruvrataha. Those who worship the forefathers, they will go to their planet, wherever they are. Bhutani yanti, if you worship the ghosts and hobgoblins, you will go to their planets, wherever they are. And anyone who worships me, Krishna says, will achieve my planet. So you may say, what's the difference? The difference is described in the 12th chapter, 8th chapter, 21st verse. Avyaktokshara ityuktastamahu paramam gatim yam prapya nanivartante taddhama paramam mama. The difference is this. If you go to the abode of the Supreme Lord, you will never come down to this material world of birth, old age, disease and death. You are liberated from the cycle of birth and death. But if you go to the abode of the devatas, then at the time of pralaya, they will be finished, you will be finished, and their planet also will be finished. Ultimately. Therefore, intelligent man is he who aspires for an eternal benefit. He doesn't want an abode which is temporary. He wants a permanent home. Who would aspire for a rental home? Every month you have to keep on changing. By the time you settle down, you have to leave that place. By the time you settle down, you have to leave that place. Anyone would prefer a permanent home where he can reside happily, peacefully. So from an eternal point of view, the abode of the devatas are ultimate. Kshine punye martyalokam. You do punya, you go to their abode. But you exhaust your punya, you come back. Like credit card. As long as you have money, okay, you can throw the credit card, get away. And then one day you throw it and that fellow throws it back at you because it is exhausted. Now you are back to square one. Again you have to earn. That is the difference. In fact, Krishna even goes so far to say that the worship of the devata is avidhi purvakam, improper worship. While the worship of the Supreme Lord is the most intelligent way. How? The example is given in the Bhagavat. Yatha taror mool anishechanena trupyanti tatskanda bhujopa shakha प्राणोपहारा च यथेन्द्रियाणाम तथैव सर्वार्हणम अच्युते च. टू एग्जाम्पल्स आर गिवन ऑफ हाउ वर्शिप ऑफ द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड इज द बेस्ट प्रॉपर वे एंड वर्शिप ऑफ एनी अदर सोर्स इंडिपेंडेंट ऑफ द लॉर्ड इज कंसिडर्ड टू बी इम्प्रॉपर. द फर्स्ट एग्जाम्पल इज सपोज देर इज अ ट्री, अ ह्यूज ट्री 200 फीट लॉन्ग विथ ब्रांचेस एंड लीव्स एंड फ्लावर्स एंड फ्रूट्स. You want to nourish the tree. A less intelligent child will take the hose pipe and water the stem, the branches, the leaf, the flower, and the fruit. Whereas an intelligent person will take a bucket of water and throw it on the ground at the base of the stem, knowing fully well that if the root is watered, automatically the whole tree will be nourished. So the improper way of watering the tree is watering the stem, the branches, the leaf, the flower, the fruit. And a proper way of watering, nourishing the tree is simply by watering the root. Yatha taror moola nishechanena. If you water the root of the tree, tripyanti, all the branches, all the stem, the leaves, everything will be nourished automatically without extra endeavor. Another example is given. Pranopaharacha yathendriyanam. If you want to nourish the body, there are 9 holes in the body. But proper way of nourishing the body is only use one hole, that is the mouth. If you start feeding through the nose and through the ears and all other places, that is an improper way of feeding, nourishing the body. The best is put the thing into the mouth and it will go to the stomach. If the stomach is nourished, you don't have to separately nourish all the fingers, put the finger in halwa and put your head in the ghee and put your legs in some sabji. No, simply feed the stomach and every part of the body will automatically be nourished. Similarly, if we satisfy the Supreme Lord, that's why Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita in the end, Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja. Surrender to me, O Arjun. But you may say, no, 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 what, everyone will get angry. He says, Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshishyami. I will relieve you from all sinful reaction. Do not worry. This happened in Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, all the Brajavasis were worshipping Indra every year. It was their Kuladeva. Sometimes people ask, what about Kuladeva? Their Kuladeva was Indra. They were worshipping. And Krishna said, you don't have to worship Indra. Use all this to worship Govardhan. Because that gives you grass, that gives you everything. So, no, 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 Indra will get angry. He said, no, 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 you worship. So they had faith in Krishna and they worshipped Govardhan. And Krishna personally took the form of Govardhan and accepted everything. Indra became very angry. He was fuming. One little talkative child has spoken all nonsense. And listening to that, you people have rejected your tradition worship. I will teach you a lesson. And he got the clouds, Samvartaka cloud, which is used at the time of universal devastation. And he started pouring rains. It was not raining cats and dogs. It was raining horses and elephants. Pillars, huge pillars of water was pouring. And all the Brajavasis told Krishna, we told you. We told you. Krishna said, don't worry. Govardhan will protect you. Come, let us go. And effortlessly, just as an elephant picks up a sugar cane, Krishna lifted the Govardhan. And all the Brajavasis came inside. Even their hair did not become wet. All the water, the Sudarshan of the Lord was going around and just evaporating the whole water. Not a drop of water touched the Brajavasis. Indra showered the rain for 7 days and 7 nights. Ultimately he got exhausted. And he realized, this ordinary talkative child is not an ordinary child. He is my worshipable Lord. He fell at the feet of Krishna and he said, you are the real Indra. Please forgive me for my offense to consider you as an ordinary person. In this way, there are so many beautiful pastimes in Krishna Leela where Krishna demonstrated his supreme power over everyone. The devatas cannot award the ultimate liberation, whereas only the Supreme Lord, in fact, Lord Shiva tells Parvati in the Padma Puran, Mukti Pradata Sarvesham Vishnurevana Samshaya. In fact, Krishna's another name is Mukunda. Mukunda means only one who can give Mukti. If you want liberation from this material world of suffering, only the Supreme Lord can give. Nobody else. They can give you benefits in this world, but if you want liberation from this world, only the Supreme Lord can give. This is another very interesting thing. The Lord, the devatas give what people want, but the Supreme Lord gives what one needs. There is a difference between what one wants and what one needs. Right? Children want practically everything. They don't even know what's good for them, what's bad for them. Everything they see, they want. But the father only gives what one needs. That is the difference between devatas. If you go to the devatas and pay the required amount, they have to give you, whether you like it or not, they have to give you what you want. Even though it may not be good for you, it may not be good for others. There was a demon. His name was Bhasmasur. He went to Lord Shiva and worshipped Lord Shiva. Shiva gets very easily pleased. Therefore, his name is Ashutosh. So he got pleased. Yes, my... And he was such an adamant fellow. This demon was such an adamant fellow. He started cutting his hands and putting in the fire. He started cutting his legs and putting in the fire. He was about to cut his head. Just like sometimes children, you know, become so adamant, start kicking their hands and legs. The parents say, okay, Baba, what do you want? Tell me. So he started cutting his hands and legs. So Shiva said, okay, Baba, what do you want? Please tell me. And this fellow looked at Shiva. My Lord, give me this benediction that whosoever's head I place my hand, he will burst to ashes. He will be burned to ashes. Shiva said, what kind of benediction is this? He said, okay, tathastu. He's done so much, okay. Then along with Shiva, Parvati had come. So this Asura started looking at Parvati. Wow, she's so beautiful. But as long as Shiva is there, I can't enjoy her. Therefore, he started trying his first, you know, benediction. He wanted to try on Shiva. And ultimately, Lord Shiva had to run. And as he was running, everyone was watching. What's happening? Then he cried out, my Lord, please protect. And it is described, Vishnu took the form of a dwarf. And he came and said to this demon, hey, where are you going? He said, you don't know? I've got this benediction. Whoever I place my hand on, he will die. So, therefore I want to place it, try it on Shiva. Though this boy started laughing loudly. He said, you are such a fool. You believe this person? He, you know, never trustworthy, you know. Many times his things don't work at all. So Vishnu Maya, he started talking in such a way that he got so bewildered. He said, so what should I do? Whole world is watching you. And now you will run and run and run and place your head and Shiva will smile, nothing will happen and you will become a laughing stock. Really? Yeah, try it out, see. And he said, okay, I'll place it on my own head. Just burn to ashes. The story is given to indicate what is the mentality of people who approach the devatas generally. They want some very, very selfish kind of benedictions, which is troublesome to them and to others. They don't even know what they want. But if they do the required tapasya, the devatas are forced to give. If they do, just like if you go to a shopkeeper and get 10 rupees and say, I want a packet of cigarettes, 555 cigarettes. The shopkeeper knows, a 5-year-old child comes and says, Uncle, please give me one packet of 555 cigarettes, I want to smoke. The shopkeeper knows it's not good for you, but he has to give. That's why he has opened the shop. But the same child goes to his father and says, Papa, here is 10 rupees, give me 555. The father will take the 10 rupees, keep it in his pocket and slap him 555. Right? You rascal, this is not why I gave you. This is the way you use it. This is what you deserve. Approaching the devatas and approaching the Lord is the difference between approaching a shopkeeper and approaching the father. The father will only give what you need. But the devatas are forced to give, just like Hiranyakashipu did tapasya and Brahmaji came. What do you want? He said, I don't want to die. Brahma said, even I can't give you that because I have to die one day. So he said, okay. He used his intelligence for life insurance. I won't die outside, I won't die inside the house. I won't die in the air, I won't die in the water, I won't die on land. I won't be killed by any of your creation, 84 lakh species. I should not die in the morning or in the night. Complete insurance. Everything is nicely covered. But he did not realize that all intelligence comes from the supremely intelligence, and he is supremely intelligent. So Lord Narsingdev came. He was not a human being. He was not an animal. He was not a created. He was not a person who was created by Brahma. He was standing on the doorstep. It was neither outside the house, inside the house. No astra, no shastra. He took his nails. Not on the ground, not in the air, not in water. Put him on his lap and tore him to pieces. So, protected Brahma. He could have killed him anywhere. But Brahma will be insulted. His representative will be insulted. Without harming Brahma's life insurance, he created a new policy which was not covered. And then he said, what about this? Finished. So, however intelligent we may be, but ultimately all intelligence is coming from him. And then he chastised Brahma. Lord Vishnu chastised, Narsingdev chastised Brahma. Think twice before giving all these things to these people. Otherwise they create such havoc in the lives of people. And finally, the benefits or the worship of the devatas is material. In the sense, they give you what is for this life. But the Lord offers devotional service which is completely spiritual, which is eternally to our credit. Now, I see many dejected faces. What is this? If we should not worship the devatas, why did Krishna so many scriptures he gave and worship? He should have sent, worship only me. Try to understand. The Lord is very, very merciful and intelligent. People have too many material desires. And to fulfill that desires, the worship of the devatas are recommended. There is nothing wrong in it. Because as long as the material desires are not fulfilled, it's very difficult for people to meditate on the ultimate objective. They want immediate benefit. Therefore, it is described the kind of scripture that are created, that you approach him and you get what you want. For example, here in Maharashtra, they worship Lord Ganesh. Right? If you listen to the aarti, Vidyaarthi labate vidyam, dhanarthi labate dhanam, putrarthi labate putram, moksharthi labate gatim. Japet Ganapati Stotram Shadbhir Mase Phalam Labit. 6 months you will get the benefit. You don't have to wait lifelong. So people want quick material benefit. Therefore they approach. 6 months you do. Every Tuesday You get this benefit. It's good. But there is also a hitch there. Then why did the Lord create like this? Because at least by constantly going to these people, their worship has been designed in such a way that indirectly you have to chant the name of the Supreme Lord. Just like, suppose a child has malaria and he has to take quinine medicine. Quinine is very bitter. No child will agree to take it. So the intelligent mother, what she does, she puts that medicine in a sugar ball, sugar coating. And she said, beta, open your mouth. This is the sweet for you. And the sweet goes inside and then acts like medicine. Similarly, all the devata worship, in the beginning and in the end, there is the worship of the Supreme Lord. Without your knowledge, even though you may not know the position of the Lord and the devatas, simply by worshipping the devatas in the scriptural way, not whimsical way. Today, unfortunately, all this worship is totally nonsense. Some worship, especially, I have seen. Kapileshwar, you know, they put wicket keeper and, you know, head, and they make him sit on Garuda, they make him sit on the... If you worship all the devatas in a bona fide Vedic way, you will be surprised. In the beginning of every worship of devata, you have to chant the name of the Supreme Lord. And in the end, you have to chant the name of the Supreme Lord. Without your knowledge, you are getting the benefit. You are taking the medicine. For example, when you chant, next time you have this Ganpati worship, call a Vedic worshipper, real worshipper. How does he begin? Achyutaya nama, Anantaya nama, Keshavaya nama, Madhavaya nama, Govindaya nama, Apavitra apavitro va sarvavastham gatopi va yah smaret pundarikaksham sabhaya abhyantara shuchihi Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu. Without this he won't start any mantra. The first mantra is worshipping the Supreme Lord. Keshavaya nama, Madhavaya nama, Narayanaya nama, Govindaya nama. We say that before every worship, we have to begin with Lord Ganesh. But even to worship Lord Ganesh, you have to start this. You have to establish the kalash which represents the Supreme Lord. Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam. He is the Yajneshwar. Then you worship all the devatas. And after doing all of this, I was listening to that aarti what they sing. How does that end? After the whole aarti of Ganesh ji, what does the aarti say? Kayena vacha manasendriyerva buddhyatmana vanusata subhava karomi adyat sakalam parasmai narayana iti samarpayami. Kayena, whatever I have done by my body, vacha by my words, manasa by my mind, indriyerva by my senses, buddhi by my intelligence, atmana by myself, anusata subhava by my nature, karomi adyat, whatever I have done through all of this, sakalam, everything, parasmai. Parasmai means to the Lord who is beyond this material world. Who? Narayana iti samarpayami. And how do you offer? Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. You're chanting the mantra. But generally that's not the focus. But without your knowledge, the medicine has gone in. Because the name of the Supreme Lord is supremely pure. And without your knowledge, if you chant that, you get the benefit. And therefore, if you sincerely worship the devatas, slowly over a period of time, if you are sincere, you will be guided to the Supreme Lord. There are two kinds of worship. Now, please try to understand, we are not against, we are not recommending that it is wrong, because Krishna has given the scriptures, God has given the scriptures, and some scriptures recommend this. Because there are different levels of people. So, those who have strong material desires can approach the devatas. But, why is it? How do we know that they have material desires? And they are not interested in pleasing the Lord. They are interested in pleasing themselves. Therefore, generally the worship is once in a week. Right? If you love someone, if you love your wife, you tell her, I really love you only on Tuesdays between 7 to 9 p.m. I don't expect me to love you 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Why? Why only on Tuesday? If you love someone and want to serve someone, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Satatam kirtayantu mam yatantascha dridavratah. Krishna says in the Gita, my devotees worship me 24 hours. Man mana bhav mad bhakto. If you love me 24 hours, 365 days a year, always. You live according to my principles. But then, initially, you know, a KG fellow cannot go to PhD level straight away. Therefore, he said, already you want it, you want to enjoy something, this person can give you. So you go to that person, there is some regulation. At least on that day, they won't eat all nonsense. At least on that day, they purify themselves. They try to purify their consciousness. They go there, do some austerity, standing in line, give some charity. At least on one day in a week, they become little pure. And having tasted that purity, they want to do that again and again. And then, out of gratitude for someone who has given something, they want to worship even after the benefit has been given. But the process of worship has been designed in such a way that if you continue to practice, slowly you come to the mode of goodness. Sattva guna. And then when you come to the mode of goodness, you see, my God, I am asking for such nonsense. Let me do something more. So the whole idea is it has been designed in such an expert way that if you continue to worship systematically according to scripture, not if you know nonsensical worship according to your whimsical desires, the Vedas are designed in such a way that slowly they will elevate you to the highest consciousness. How should we approach the devatas? We should not approach the devatas asking for some big list of, you know, demands. One person asked me, so Prabhuji, you are saying that we should, how can I not approach him? For all these years I was going to him, and today you are telling go to Krishna, and tomorrow Ganpati will say, achha, jab chahiye tha idhar aaya, abhi udhar ja raha hai. You forgot? Even a gentleman will be grateful to anyone helped any time in his life. So, you know, I feel very unchaste. All these years you worship me, now you are going to somebody, huh? Somebody, one fellow told you, therefore you are going there. Please try to understand. It is not true. It is not wrong to approach any devatas. It's not a fault. But what is criticized as less intelligent is approaching the devatas for material desires. Real way to please, if you want to worship someone, you have to please that person, not you. I worship you because I like it. No, I worship you and I want to please you. If you want to worship someone, you have to please that person. So, the prayer that we can approach the devata is, my Lord, dear devata, so and so, whoever it is, out of the 133 crores, I am fool number one. I don't know what to ask for. I have been troubling you all these years for so many things. Now I approach you and ask you, give me what you think is best for me. When you ask like that, they will give you love for their master. It is a fact. If you approach Maruti every Saturday and put little oil and say, Maruti, please give me Maruti 2000. You will get it. You will get it. Please give me a good wife. He's a brahmachari, but you ask for a wife. Still he will give you. But he will not be satisfied. Just imagine somebody comes to you every week. Excuse me, can you give me this? Can you give me this? Okay, you have a lot of, theek hai. But if that person comes and says, I want to please you, how can I serve you? Please tell me. You become happy. So he will tolerate all these nonsense. Okay, what do you want, Baba? Theek hai. They are so merciful, they give. But if you approach them and say, please give me what you think is best, he will give you devotion to Lord Sri Ram. Because within his heart, he worships Lord Ram. He showed it when he opened his chest. What he worships, he worships Lord Ram within his heart. If you go in front of Lord Hanuman and say Jai Shri Ram, he will jump from the altar and dance with you. Then automatically he will give you what you want also, and also give you what you need. It is described in the scriptures, yatra yatra Raghunath kirtanam tatra tatra kritamastakanjalim vashpavari paripurna lochanam maruti mamatarakshakantam. Yatra yatra Raghunath kirtanam, wherever the name of Lord Ram, the Supreme Lord Krishna or Vishnu is chanted, tatra tatra, at that place, kritamastakanjalim, with folded head and folded palms, with tears rolling down his cheeks, vashpavari paripurna lochanam, Maruti will come there and stand. You don't have to go to him. He will come to you here. When he sees that you are worshipping his Lord, whom he worships within the core of his heart. So somewhere at least go, at least on Saturday. Ask something. Better to ask, rather than asking some Tom, Dick and Harry, better to ask them. They will give you what you want. But real intelligent person is he who will want to please them. And what pleases Hanuman the most? When people chant the name of Lord Ram. Then he will sit with you and also chant. And naturally, Ashta Siddhi Navanidhi Ke Data Asavaradina Janaki Mata. Ashta Siddhi, he will give you Ashta Siddhi, Navanidhi, everything will come. He is ready to give, but you foolishly ask for a little paltry benefit. Okay, take it. If you approach the Supreme Lord, all the benefits that all the devatas can individually give can be at once available, if that is what you need. Once there was a king. This king was in a very magnanimous mood. He wanted to give to his subjects anything they wanted. He was in a very charitable mood. So he went to a village, and the minister was with him. So he was in a charitable mood. He said, ask the people what they want. So the minister, beat the drum and said, anyone can ask anything. So one man came and said, dear king, my house is broken. I need a beautiful house. Sanction, write down. Okay, house to be done. Another fellow, I want wealth. I'm very poor. Okay, sanction. So many rupees, gold coins. Next, dear king, My road in front of my house is kacha, make it pakka, make it tar road, cemented road, highway, okay, highway. Then the fourth fellow, and this fellow said, my dear king, I want to be your friend. Okay, you are my friend, write down, he is your friend, and he went away. All the others started laughing at this fellow, you fool. Personally, the king had come and you are telling friendship. Now you are a friend. Go back in your home. He had a hut. He said, no, that's enough. I am satisfied. King is my friend. A month passed and everyone got their benefits. The minister reminded the king, dear king, this person has asked for your friendship. If he is your friend, I think you should reciprocate your friendship. You should visit his home at least once. The king said, okay, I'll visit my friend next month. So the minister said, my God, the king is going to visit. How can he live in that poor hut? There's no place for even two people there. Therefore, immediately he sent all the soldiers. A huge palace was built. Lot of money with hundreds of servants were sent. And a super express highway was made from his house to the palace. So by becoming friends with this king, all other paltry benefits automatically came about. Similarly, by surrendering to the Supreme Lord, when the Lord is pleased, all his servants, they will shower their mercy on you without extraneous special endeavor. Because friendship means sacrifice, surrender, not selfish for asking. Friend means there is some, you don't ask some friend, you just, there's a sweet reciprocation. Otherwise friendship is lost, strained. And therefore, Suhridam Sarvabhutanam. Krishna is the well-wishing friend of every living entity. If we extend our hand in friendship, he showers his mercy. So, the scriptures don't say that it is wrong to worship, but the scriptures emphasize what should be our consciousness. If our consciousness is, all these devatas must be worshipped in full understanding who they are. One should not disrespect. Sometimes some people blame ISKCON people. You Hare Rama Hare Krishna. For you only Krishna. Morning to evening only Krishna. You disrespect all our devatas. No. Absolutely not. If you respect the Lord, you should respect every living entity, even an ant. Because Lord resides within the heart of every living entity. What to speak of the great devatas who are obedient servants of the Lord. And mind you, what I am telling you is all personally written by Ganapati. This Bhagavad Gita is a part of Mahabharata. When Vyasadeva wanted to write Mahabharata consisting of 1 lakh verses, he needed a stenographer, expert stenographer, quick, faster the job. And Vyasadeva said, no ordinary person can do. We need a very fast one. And Ganapati volunteered. He said, I will do it. But Ganapati said, only one condition. He said, what is that? You should go on speaking. If you stop speaking, I will stop writing. And once I put down my pen, I won't lift it again. Big challenge. That means you have to compose Sanskrit verses one after the other like that. It's not that he had prepared, you know, manuscript ready, now I'll dictate. No, he had to just compose. So Vyasadeva said, he also told him, okay, I accept your challenge, but there's one more condition you have to accept from my side. Said what? Before writing every verse, you have to understand the meaning and then only write. So whenever Vyasadeva needed some time, he would compose a tough one. And when Ganpati was thinking, you know, what does it mean? Then he, Vyasadeva got time to compose another verses. In this way, the Mahabharata consisting of 1 lakh verses was composed. And in the Mahabharata, Bhishma Parva comes just before the battle of Kurukshetra, comes the 700 verses, the crest jewel of Mahabharata. If Mahabharata is considered the crown, the crest jewel of Mahabharata is Bhagavad Gita as an independent text. 700 verses. And every verse of what I have spoken today, not me, I am not written. Lord Ganesh has personally written. So he wouldn't have written if Vyasadeva said, less intelligent people worship devatas. He would have said, hey, what is this? This is not good. He understood. And he had no objection. And therefore he wrote. So what we are speaking today, the Bhagavad Gita, was personally digested, understood and then written by Lord Ganesh. If you accept the scriptures. So it is perfectly authorized and bona fide. So we should understand, we are not against the devatas. We worship every living entity because of their connection with the Supreme. But what the scriptures are against is going to the devatas for some mere paltry benefits. That should be understood. If that is understood, then it's perfectly all right. And one should have full faith that if you water the root of the tree, every part of the tree is automatically nourished. And because the Supreme Lord gives what one needs, therefore by approaching Him, even what we want, if it is required, will come to us. Without our special extra asking. One can see it when one takes the process of worshipping the Supreme Lord. Okay. So, one other question remains. I remember generally after when I end this question, there's one question that comes about. He said it's easy to accept Lord Vishnu as God. It is easy to accept Lord Ram as God. But Krishna? Too much. How can we accept this fellow as God? Because he is very contradictory. Such a big politician. He was the starting, you know, he was the cause for provoking Arjun to go and fight. And he is telling all of us, be very peaceful. He is telling us to restrict our lusty desires. But he danced with other men's wives in the middle of the night in the bushes of Vrindavan. Openly. And we are supposed to glorify that Rasleela. And you do Rasleela, then you say, this is nonsense. You should not do it. People don't want to. He says, don't steal. But he is known all over as Makhan Chor. He's a thief. He's a thief. He's a lusty fellow. And he's immoral. And you have to worship him. Supreme Lord, please give me benediction so I become moral. All thievery propensity will go away. What nonsense. It's very difficult for people to digest this. How do we understand? So we'll take the slideshow now. As to how to understand this. Yeah. No, not this. You have to go. Can we have the lights off? 1 minute, let him just put it first. Can we have even those lights off? No, let the doors be open, Prabhu. Just close, put off the lights. So, we were discussing about who the supreme cause of all causes, controller, proprietor and enjoyer is, and the Gita, which is the essence of all the Vedic scriptures, essence of all Upanishads, Vedanta, describes that personality to be none other than the speaker of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Sri Krishna. Next. It is very difficult to conceive how an ordinary cowherd boy born 5,000 years ago, 93 kilometers southeast of Delhi, in an ordinary village of Vrindavan, part of Mathura, UP state, can be the supreme cause of all causes, original source, original supreme controller, proprietor and enjoyer. Very difficult to digest. Because what are his decorations? Ordinary peacock feather, not even some jewels, and some forest flowers as a garland, a normal dhoti, some flowers, and an ordinary flute, not even a guitar, or a big, costly organ. God must have some costly things. He's wearing some, and what is his decoration? Some natural minerals that he just applies on his face. Whatever is available in the forests of Vrindavan. How such a person can be accepted to be the cause of all causes? Next. The Supreme Lord is supremely independent, but we find him totally dependent on the mercy of his mother. In Krishna Leela, we read about how once this tiny tot Krishna was walking around the crawling around the household outside in the veranda, in the compound of the house of Nanda Maharaj, his father. And then loud thunderbolt and with cloud, roaring thunder was heard. And Krishna got so scared that he ran and hid in the arms of Mother Yashoda. He was telling, I am very scared. Some danger is coming. And he was shaking in fear. The devatas are supposed to be fearless. We pray to them, make a fearless. And their Lord is fearful of ordinary thunder. How do we understand this? He is supposed to be the independent Supreme Lord, but he is totally dependent on the protection of his mother. Next. Bhagavad Gita tells us to become very moral. And not thief, not steal. But the speaker of the Bhagavad Gita in his childhood was famous all over as Makhan Chor. If you call anyone on the street chore, it is like an insult. But all the great sages since time immemorial praise the Lord saying, Jai Ho Makhan Chor. Run Chod is also, you know, somebody runs away from the battlefield, it's a disgrace to the Kshatriya. But Krishna ran away and it's a Jai Run Chod Rai Ki Jai. How do we understand this contradiction? Next. All that is okay, but this is too much. How dare he speak that you marry only one wife and have licit relation, and he dances with all the men's wives in the middle of the night, and he's glorified for it as Rasaraj. And pure great sages like Narada, pure brahmacharis, they glorify the Raslila pastimes of the Lord. Isn't it very contradictory that these people are fearless, moral and very strict celibates, and they worship a Lord who has none of those qualities but the reverse? Therefore, if you really want to understand Krishna, we have to hear the Bhagavad Gita from a proper source. Krishna says in the 4th chapter, 9th verse, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvatah tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mameti sorjuna. He says, O Arjuna, one who understands the divya or transcendental nature of my birth and my activities, such a person upon giving up this body is never born into this world but attains to my eternal abode, eternally, permanently. So the Lord says one should understand the divya or transcendental nature of his birth and activities. We are born after 9 months. We require the help of a father and mother. Individually, no one can give birth like that. Whereas Krishna's birth was not ordinary. His birth was foretold to Kamsa on the day of Devaki's marriage by the Devatas, Akashvani. And then first the Lord entered the mind of Vasudev, from there to the mind of Devaki, and then entered into her womb. It was not through an ordinary contact of transformation of semen as it happens in case of ordinary men. And when Devaki was carrying the Lord in the womb, she became effulgent like the sun. Even Kamsa was shocked to see Devaki becoming so effulgent. All the devatas in hidden form would come and offer prayers to the womb of Devaki, knowing who is residing. The unborn eternal Lord is to be born. What a contradiction. What a beautiful pastime. This is called Leela. Krishna does not require father and mother. He is the supreme father of every living entity. But he accepts his devotees simply to perform his pastime as father, mother, guru, etc. So here, 1 minute. Here you see, even before he was born, he appeared in front of Vasudev and Devaki in this beautiful four-handed form of Vishnu and reminded his parents, so-called parents, that 3 lifetimes ago, you worshipped me for 10,000 years, eating only the dry leaves in the forest. And when I appeared before you at that time, you asked me to have a child like me. Since there is no one equal to me or above me, I gave you benediction that I will be born 3 times. First you were Sutapa and Prishni, and I was born as your son Prishni Garbha. Then you were Aditi and Kashyapa, and I was born and Vamanadev. And third time now you are Vasudev and Devaki, and I am being born to you as Krishna. After reminding them, then Krishna was born and assumed his beautiful, sweet form of the form that we know. So it's not that even before the birth, how many of us are born with a nice dhoti and then all jewels and shankha chakra gada padma in our hand with long hair? Any one of us? Next. God does not have to do some exercise and yoga to become God. God is God right from day one. Whether he's in the womb of his mother, whether he's outside, whether he's acting as a child, whether he's acting as an ordinary mortal. When he was just a month old, this huge demoness by name Putana, dressed as an ordinary woman, Brahmani, she came, anointed her breast with poison, Kalakuta poison, which was enough to kill 100 children. But Krishna very expertly and dexterously not only sucked the milk, but her life. Sucked the poison, sucked the milk, and sucked the life out of it. And she, when she realized, she assumed her original form, which was 8 miles long. And Krishna did not become 8 miles long to kill her. Krishna was the same tiny boy. Because the Lord, whether he is tiny or big, has all the powers eternally. So Krishna, after that, was playing on this breast of Putana as if like it was a playground. And the gopis, they were shocked to see, and they came running, they climbed up and actually rescued Krishna, what they thought rescuing Krishna. And they started chanting so many mantras of protection for Krishna. Because out of their love for Krishna, they did not realize that the child whom they are playing around was the Supreme Lord. That is Maya. Maya means Yoga Maya. Because they were pure devotees, loving Krishna so much, they didn't realize that Krishna was the reason for killing this demon. Next. Another demon sent by Kamsa to kill Krishna in Vrindavan was Trinavarta. He came as a whirlwind and picked up Krishna and rose up in the sky, wanting to crash Krishna to the ground from top and kill him. But Krishna, with his butter-like hands, soft hands like a child, two-month-old child, how powerful is the grip? But he just caught hold of Trinavarta and wouldn't leave him. And Trinavarta, this huge-sized demon, with all his power, wanted to throw Krishna. But Krishna increased his weight to that of a mountain. Can you imagine? Same child, but becoming the weight of a mountain. So he was getting pressed. And Krishna wouldn't leave him. And he couldn't throw him off. Ultimately, because of weight of Krishna on his shoulder, he fell down and was crushed to death. Next. Once there was a forest fire, and all the gopas and friends of Krishna, the cows and cowherd boys, were terribly afflicted. And they requested Krishna, please save us. Krishna told everyone, close your eyes, so that not to scare them. And once they closed their eyes, Krishna just, he opened his mouth and gulped everything. The whole forest fire was gulped by Krishna in a moment. Next. You may repeat, you may gulp some little match fire, but try to repeat this one. Once Krishna was eating some dirt, Mother Yashoda got angry. She said, Krishna, open your mouth, you have eaten dirt. Krishna said, no, I didn't eat dirt. Really, I have not eaten. She said, open your mouth. And Krishna opened his mouth. Within this tiny mouth, she saw the whole cosmic manifestation. She was shocked. This was not some, what is that, Richard Spielberg special effect. Star Wars or whatever. This was the actual cosmic manifestation revealed by the Lord. She was shocked. She said, my God, I was thinking this child to be my son, but he is none other than the Supreme Lord. And she was about to offer obeisances. But Krishna does not like all these obeisances from the mother. So what? He closed his mouth and smiled. Smiled in such a sweet way that mother Yashoda forgot about all the vision, and she said, no, 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 this is my son. If I don't feed him, he will die. And she just took him on his lap and went about with her duties. Krishna is Bhagavan. Bhaga means all opulences, and one of the opulences is knowledge. 5,000 years ago, to remove the bewilderment of Arjun, using Arjuna as an instrument, Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita. And even today, 5,000 years later, all the great sages, all great philosophers and thinkers are still trying to relish the depth and width of the grave message of the Bhagavad Gita. And there is no end to it. The more you dive deeper, the more you can relish the nectar of the Bhagavad Gita. And not one statement of his has been proved to be wrong and amended, because the Supreme Lord, the Absolute Truth, has spoken this. Even if you imitate something in your mouth, try to imitate this one. If you fail, if someone claims to be Bhagwan, there are so many avatars nowadays. You know, in Bombay itself, there are 2-3 avatars who claim themselves to be God, who claim themselves to be Jagannath, who claim themselves to be Kalki. Absolute nonsense. Ask them to open their mouth. Other than their broken teeth and some bad breath, if you can see the cosmic manifestation, then you can surrender to them. They can't control old age. You will never see a picture of Krishna becoming old and carrying a walking stick. I challenge you. Krishna was born just to do the pastime. He grew up to be 16-year-old. He never grew older than that. You will never even see a mustache of Krishna. One picture of Krishna with mustache and beard in it. It's not that early morning he got up and with a shaving kit he went to the bathroom. No. Krishna is ever young. Adyam Purana Purusham Navayauvanam Cha. Lord Brahma, glorifying Krishna, says, Adyam, even though he is my father, Purana Purusham, he is the oldest of the old, but Navayauvanam, he always remains fresh youth, 16-year-old. When Krishna was speaking Bhagavad Gita to Arjun, both of them were at least 125-year-old. Dwapar Yuga people would live long. You see, Arjuna has a big mustache. Can you go back? But you won't see Krishna having a mustache or a beard. He's ever fresh, ever youthful. He never grows old, because he is transcendental to the laws of material nature. The laws of nature doesn't act upon him, because he's the creator of the laws. He's not a part of the law. We find Arjuna is having a mustache. He must have shaved before coming to Kurukshetra. Because Bhishma had not shaved. That was his big beard. Also Dronacharya. He was clean shaven, a gentleman. Krishna did not require all these shaving blades. Next. So if someone claims he is God, ask him to show this his universal Virat Swarup. If he can, then we will surrender to him. Otherwise, he is not God, G-O-D, but he is a D-O-G. Just the opposite. He may bark, I am God, but ultimately he will die a dog's death, as any one of us. He will grow old, he will get diseased, and he's going to die. This is a fact. Sign of ignorance is two. Number one, to think God, when he descends into this world, to be an ordinary person. And to think any ordinary person who does some cheap tricks, to consider him as the cause of all causes, supreme source of everything. Unfortunately, in Kali Yuga, people are so illiterate in terms of scriptures, that anyone who does some tricks and speak all nonsense, people start worshipping him as God, as if God is so cheap. Anywhere he is born, he smoked cigarette 10 years before, and now he claims, I am God. And people worship him. Kali Yuga means cheaters and the cheated. Tasmai Shri